Good morning again. If we have any 3 to 5 year olds in present with us this morning, we ask that you join Miss Kathy and Miss Dorothy in the back of the church. They are eagerly awaiting to work with you and teach you this morning if we have any present. All right. And as they get together and get ready to prepare and to work with our children, we give God blessings and praise for them and for all those who work with our youth. We thank God for you. And before I get started, I always like to acknowledge special occasions in our church. And it's a special day for Matt and Bonnie Lee. They are celebrating their 29th wedding anniversary. And let's give them a hand. We want to thank you both for your service, your dedication, and for your love that you have for this church, and certainly for our Lord. We appreciate you guys, and we love you. And I think I can say that for everyone. So thank you again, and God bless you on your special day. Now, it's been a long time since I've been before you, so it's great to be back. And I thank God for this opportunity, and I am so grateful to Pastor Springer for allowing me this chance to stand before you once again. This morning, I want to just take some time to talk about when God chooses you. Oftentimes, we have the response, "You want me to do what?" I know I've had that response. It's kind of scary sometimes when you know the Lord has laid his hand on you to do something and you're kind of like, can I really make a difference? Can anyone make a difference? Can I do this? Lord, I don't know if I'm even worthy enough, or Lord, I've gone through too much in my life. I just feel like I may be too damaged. Can you really use my life? I don't know about you, but I felt that way. And sometimes I still feel that way. But it's one thing that I am assured of: God doesn't make any mistakes. So if you're feeling like you're not worthy, if you're feeling like you're too damaged, or if you feel like you just can't do the job, let me tell you this: your feelings are deceiving. And we have a great example how God can take someone and use them for his glory. I'd like to draw your attention to Acts chapter 9. And we'll be reading verses 10 through 15. And this is dealing with the conversion of Saul, soon to be named Paul. We know him as the Apostle Paul. He's one of my favorite persons in the Bible because from his conversion, he has truly given me so much inspiration. And it just shows me how God can use anyone despite their past. And I want to speak to someone this morning specifically who may be feeling those challenges. Let's see what the scripture says. Verses 10 through 15. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your goodness. We give you thanks, Lord, that you have set your scripture before us. We pray, O God, open our eyes that we might see all the wondrous things you have in store for us through your word today. Open our eyes, Lord, and our hearts that we might fully know what you have done for us and all that you do for us. And then, Lord, open our eyes that we may see your Son incarnate, crucified, and risen. Amen. For those who are not familiar with the text this morning, I'd just like to give a brief background on Saul. Saul, aka the Apostle Paul, no person apart from him, except for Jesus, has shaped the history of the Christian church. In fact, before his conversion, his actions were significant. We first are presented, or we are introduced to Paul, to Saul, in Acts chapter 7. This is where Stephen, who was a disciple, a deacon, who was preaching and teaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is here where we are introduced to Saul. For at this time, Stephen would become martyred. He would be stoned for his proclamation of Jesus Christ. And at that time, Saul was present. He didn't participate in the stoning, but the people who had gathered laid their clothes or their garments at his feet and actually asked him to watch them while they did this horrible thing. But it's during this time that Saul, I believe, got a glimpse of Christ in Stephen. For during that time, while Stephen is even going through this agony, he still continues to proclaim Jesus. And it's the point where Stephen's about to leave this earth. He says a statement, I believe, caught Saul's attention. He shouts with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin or this charge against them." And I believe Saul saw a glimpse of Christ during that time. And after that, Saul began to continue his tirade against the Christian church. For his following, he began to go from house to house, place to place, arresting and pulling those out who proclaimed to know Christ or who were part of the way. But we have to understand the character of Saul as well, because Saul was a Pharisee. He was a Jew of Jews. He was taught by Gamaliel, a renowned scholar and teacher. So Saul knew the law, and he followed it to a T. So in all aspects, Saul certainly believed that this Christian movement was dangerous to Judaism. And so for that reason, he pursued and persecuted Christians with no mercy. Now in our text, beginning with verse 1, Saul has requested letters from the high priest to go to Damascus. So if he found anyone, whether it be man or woman, who followed this movement, he might have the opportunity to arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem. Now, Damascus was a major city. It was located northwest of Jerusalem, northeast of Jerusalem, and it was in the province of Syria. So I believe maybe Saul believed in his mind that by this being such a focal point, because there was a lot of Jewish people there, a lot of synagogues located there in that city, that maybe by eliminating Christianity there, he could prevent the further spread of this gospel, that it wouldn't go any further into any other areas. But however unknown to Saul, God had other plans. See, Saul was about to have a life-changing experience. So you may ask the question, why did God choose Saul? That's a good question. I often ask questions like that about people I've seen in different positions and things, and how did they, you don't seem like you're a match for that. But in our Christian walk, God often calls the unlikely people, or those most unlikely, to be used for his service. You may wonder, say, could that be true? Well, we're all sinners saved by grace. Yet God has called us to a service, to witness, a service to serve one another. He has called us to be a blessing in someone's life, whether it be through ministry or whether it be through companionship. To be chosen of God doesn't mean you have to be standing behind a sacred desk. But to be chosen of God means he has given you a purpose in your life. Your purpose may be just to be an encourager. Your purpose may be just to be a person who shares hospitality with someone. Or just to be someone's friend. But God has chosen each and every one of us for a specific call and purpose. So what does that really mean, church? When God calls us, when God chooses us. Because none of us at any given time will feel that we are worthy or good enough to be used by God. But I love this passage. I love the example of Paul. Because for someone who was a church persecutor, to see how God transformed his life and turned him from a church persecutor to a preacher of the gospel, that means that God can use anyone despite of your past. I love what Jeremiah 1:5 says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. Church, God has ordained all of us to a service. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you have done. You are not too broken. You are not too bad. You are not too damaged, and you're certainly not unworthy for God to use you. My first point is your past doesn't define you. I think about a friend of mine. I grew up and went to high school, Southwestern High School in Detroit. And I had a friend, his name was Curtis West. And when I read this passage, Curtis came to mind because Curtis fit every example of what could I call, what we modern day call today a thug. Curtis did everything that was not right. Everybody was scared of Curtis, the principal, the teachers, the students, everybody was scared of Curtis. A few years later, after we had graduated high school, I ran into Curtis. Don, I turn around, I'm like, oh, Lord. It's Curtis. And he comes up and he runs and he hugs me. He says, how you doing, man? I said, I'm doing good. This first thing everybody always says, you still singing? I said, yes, I'm still singing. That's great. God is good, isn't he? God is good. Yeah, God is good. You know, man, since high school, you know, I came to know the Lord and I'm a preacher now. Curtis was a great example of what God can do in someone's life. Another is in my own family, my father, Deacon Ulysses Rogers. He wasn't always known as Deacon Rogers. He was known as Dee Dee. My father was a man of the streets. His favorite place was to go to what they call the Jolly Bee, which was a local bar. Although my mother and I had been in church for years, my father did not attend. As a matter of fact, sometimes we get upset because we'll be leaving going to church on Sunday morning. I would often see my mother praying and asking God to turn my father back to him because my father had grown up in church, but he strayed away. And so it was real funny. One Sunday morning, we got ready to go to church and my dad watched us leave. And midway the service, we had just finished our worship portion. For some reason, I turned around and I looked, and my father had come into the door. He had dressed in his suit and he was sitting in the back. And I turned and I told my mother, Daddy's in the back. Daddy's in the back. My father was sitting there through the service. When it came call for discipleship, my mother and I almost fainted. My father walked towards the front. I still get emotional about this. And he rededicated his life back to the Lord. About a year or two later, my father was a deacon of the church. He stood for God so strong. So I went to the hospital to see him when he was leaving. God allowed him to have a vision of heaven. As he transitioned, he was telling me about the people he was seeing, those who had gone before him. He said, Don, do you see Deacon Childs? I said, Deacon Childs? I said, yeah, he's standing right there. He's waiting on me. Your mama's over there. And I think about that from time to time, how God turned his life around. And how he went from being a person who stood in the bar to being the chairman of the deacon board. Teaching young men how to be proper deacons. Standing on God's word so strong till when I wanted to do something I thought was cool, he challenged me and said, what does the word say? I'm talking about this man who I saw leave and go to the bar every night. You can't tell me what God can't do in someone's life. Again, I tell you, you are not too damaged. You are not too broken. You have not been so low that God cannot pick you up and turn you around. There's a song that says, to the utmost, Jesus saves. He will pick you up and turn you around. That's what happened to Saul on the Damascus Road. When he came face to face with Jesus, he turned his life around. Your past doesn't define you. Don't live in the past. When something bad happens, there are three choices you have. You either can let it define you. You can let it destroy you. Or you can let it strengthen you. The Apostle Paul says it this way. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. That's Timothy 1, 12 and 13. The reason why your past doesn't define you, church, is because in Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. When Saul met Jesus, he was given a new life. Isaiah 43 and 18 and 19 says this. But forget all that is nothing compared to what I am going to do. Again, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers and dry wasteland. In other words, whatever you have done in your past, when God chooses you, it doesn't matter. There's a saying, he can take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. When God chooses you, you are a blessing. So I want to remind you that the devil and people are always going to talk about what you did in the past, especially the bad things. But remember, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, and behold, all things are new. So when the devil keeps bringing up your past, I want you to remember this. There's something, there must be something that God has in your future. And Satan doesn't want you to see it. Jeremiah 29 and 11 reminds us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So yes, when God chooses you, God can make your worst days and your past your greatest testimony. But another thing, when God chooses you, that matters. Your life can draw others. See, people can deny Christ. They can deny the scriptures. They can even ignore prophecy. But it's one thing a person cannot ignore, and that is God's transforming power in someone's life. Just take a moment and reflect back on your own life. How God transformed us from what we were to what we used to be. And I want to say something about that. When people talk about you and come up with your past, it's two words they say. I remember when you used to. Focus on that used to. I'm talking to somebody this morning. When people come and talk about what you used to do, remember what God has you into now. Because what you used to is a blessing because you're not there anymore. When God chooses you and you feel like you're not worthy and you feel like you can't do it and you feel like you're not the right person for it, and people come up and talk about what you used to, tell them, God bless me because that's what I used to. But now I'm his, and now I'm going to do what I am called to do. Yeah, people can't deny when God changes your life. Our trials and stories of our trials in our lives, our pains, our adversities, our failures, they all lead and show people how we have overcome through Christ. See, they're meant to serve as our testimonies of God's faithfulness, his mercy, his grace, and his power. See, it's evidence that God can truly take what the devil meant for evil and turn it around for his good. And we got some examples in scripture about that. In Luke 8, verse 26 through 29, Jesus meets a man who's in the tombs. This man had, Bible says, he was in the tombs naked. They tried to bind him, he'd break the chains. Nothing that man could do could control this man. But one day Jesus dropped by. And as the scripture tells us, he began to converse with the man. He asked the man what his name was. And he said, Legion, it's because we're many. Jesus continues to converse with the man. He continues to minister to him. At the end of the text, at the end of the story, people gather and they find Jesus with the man, now clothed and in his right mind. His life began to speak to others because they saw the transforming power of Christ. He was so grateful that he wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus told him, no, you go back home. Let him see what God has done for you. Another example is one that's familiar to us, found in John 4, 1 through 42. This woman at the well. Jesus purposely goes through Nazareth. And he meets this woman who has been ostracized by her town. And he sits down and he asks her for a drink. And as he converses with the woman, he tells her all about her life story. And as he's talking with her, he's ministering and beginning to transform her life. She don't realize it just yet, but he's beginning to make some changes in her life. And as she continues to hear what he's saying, there's a point where the scripture says she runs off and leaves her water pots because she came to the river at noontime because no one else would be there and she wouldn't be mistreated or ostracized. So she would go at a time that there wouldn't be anyone around. But the scripture tells us that Jesus has gotten so good and so has touched her life so profoundly that she runs off and forgets about her water and runs back to the town. Tell him, come, you got to come and see this man. He told me everything that I've ever done. When God chooses you. See, the people saw who she used to be. But when God got a hold of her, she became a witness for Christ. And not only was she a witness, she was so bold that the whole town came. And when they got there, they heard Jesus for themselves. They said, now we appreciate you bringing us, but we don't believe him because of what you said, but we believe it because of what we have seen and heard for ourselves. But if she had not going to the town. If she had let her past define her. If she hadn't heard what Jesus had to say that transformed her life, they would have never been brought to Christ. So what are you saying, Don? I'm saying that what you've been through in your life is not always just for you, but it can serve as an example for someone else. What you've been through in your life be a testimony of what God can truly do. What you've been through in your life can be a strength for somebody else who has been going through something. If you've never been through a sickness, you can't tell nobody how God can heal. If you've never gone through sorrow, you can't tell that God is a company keeper and that he'll bear your burdens. If you've never been through a divorce, you can't tell nobody that God can be a friend that sits closer than a brother. Your past in your life, your experiences in your life can draw others to Christ. So don't be ashamed. Let God speak through you to someone else, for he can truly use your life. But my third and final point is your life can be a model for others. See, Paul stood firm in Christ. If anyone had a right to boast, toot their own horn, it would have been Paul. Because when it came to his lineage, he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was part of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a good Pharisee. He kept the law. As a persecutor, he had the zeal to stop the ministry of the church. So he was faultless in that. But after meeting Christ, Paul, the Apostle Paul, began to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He continued to proclaim that faith in Jesus guarantees a share in his life. See, despite all that Paul suffered, he never denied his faith or worked for Christ. I believe that's why God chose him, because he knew as hard as he fought before for what he believed in, he would fight even harder for the kingdom, for what he now believes in. So listen to what Paul says to us. Philippians 3, verses 8 and through verse 10. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share his sufferings, becoming like him, even in his death. Paul wanted to be just like Christ. It's amazing how God turned his life around. Had chosen him, a person who, by all terms, was the most unlikely individual to ever be called to the service of Christ. But for Paul, it was not enough just to know Christ, to win Christ, to magnify Christ, or to be in Christ. Paul wanted to be just like Christ. Can you think about that? Just to be, want to be so much, so close in that you want to be just like Christ. That's what we all should strive for, to be just like Christ. That's why Paul, to me, is such a great example, because he shows us how to stand firm in our faith, in our trust, in our commitment to Christ. He wanted to breathe his spirit. He wanted to exhibit Christ's temper. He wanted to copy his example. In other words, church, Paul wanted to be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. Do you want to be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus? I do. I want to be like Paul. I want to be so close to him that I ooze Christ. Everything about me exhibits him. I'm a work in progress. I ain't got there yet, but I'm working on it. I want to be so close to him that when I move, people can see him, that they just see Christ. I thank God for Paul in that aspect, that everything about his being, he wanted to be just like Christ. See, there was a time in his life he didn't see no beauty in Jesus. He could only see what was a problem. But now he sees nothing but the beauty of Christ. Once he couldn't hear or even mention the name of Jesus. But now he can't stop talking about him. Once he was fighting against Christ and his people. Now his heartfelt desire is to live for him. You want me to do what? Someone here today, God has been tugging on your heart about doing something. He's placed in your spirit a ministry. He's placed in your spirit a job. He's placed in your spirit something for you to make a difference. And what's been holding you back is that I can't. I don't feel like I am worthy enough, or God, I've done too many things in my life that have not been good. But the Apostle Paul serves as a great example to us today that God can use anyone in spite of who you were prior to knowing him. So I want to leave you with this. The next time you begin to have doubts, or you feel like saying, I just don't think I can do it. I'm not qualified. Again, I'm not sure I'm worthy of stepping into this role. Lord, I know there are people who can do it better than I can. Let me just show you some people whom God called who are unlikely people for the service. So you may recall that Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper and he denied Christ. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was depressed. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. Don't you tell me God can't use folks. If he can call and use these people, and don't forget he took 12 unlikely men and turned the world upside down. What am I saying? I'm saying that you are a chosen vessel. One for God's purpose. Stop feeling like you can't do it. And say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm ready. If you want me to go, I'll go. Where you lead me, I will follow. I know I'm not perfect, but God, I serve a perfect God. I may feel unworthy, but Lord, you are worthy. Because if God can take you to it, he will certainly fulfill it in you. Hebrews 12 says this. I will equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. So in other words, if God calls you, he certainly will equip you. Do you believe that, church, this morning? That sounded kind of weak. Do you believe that this morning? I didn't say all of that for y'all to feel like you can't do it now. I want this church to know that God has called us to a high purpose. He's called us to a ministry where we are the city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. So all of us here today, I challenge you, ask God to show you your purpose. Lord, what have you chosen me for? As we go into response, I want you to take a moment just to reflect, not only on what God has done and where he's brought you to and from, but where he can bring you and where he's going to take you. Northwest, we got some dynamic people here. We got some dynamic young people here. Some dynamic leaders here. But God is choosing and calling more. Will you be the one? Don't ask what you want me to do what. Just say, Lord, I'm ready. God bless you and God keep you.